The purpose of a lighthouse really has two reasons. It's either to be a navigational aid for something or a guide, or it really is just to warn of danger to come. You don't ever see a lighthouse in the middle of the ocean where there is no danger around. A lighthouse is always somewhere where there could be potential harm. Or it could be any, you know, I'm thinking of lots of different areas that lighthouses are. They're always set on the coast, somewhere where land is. They're not sitting out there where there can't be harm. And Job was just there, and it's the last verse there in chapter number 1, it says he never sinned, and he never charged God foolishly, and he was just a lighthouse. And I want us to be a lighthouse in today's time, and we could just tell people, hey, give a warning, hey, Jesus is coming back very, very soon, and we could just try to be a navigational guide to somebody and point them on their way, or whatever it may be. You know, I think about a lot of lighthouses in the Bible. You think about Joseph and in the book of Genesis, chapter number 39, he really comes to that point in the road, like Brother Mark was preaching on there. He'd made up his mind when his ruler's wife came to him and said, "Lie with me." He said, "I'm not going to." He made up his mind. He said, "I'm going to go with God." And I think about all different lighthouses, and one lighthouse in particular I think of is a man by the name of John the Baptist. And I want us to turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter number 3 tonight. I feel like this would be the Lord would have us tonight. You've heard enough preaching tonight. I'm just going to try to be quick and get out of the way. Matthew chapter number 3, and I want to preach on this message. I know the sound man there is looking for a title. I've preached it before. I've only ever preached it one time. But I want to preach a message called Lessons Learned from the Baptist Preacher. And I think John the Baptist is a great picture of what we could be in today's time. And, you know, I think about 2020. Hey, you can get hung up on that all you want to. 2021's a coming. Brother Mark said Jesus could come back January 1st, 2021. I say he could come back November 22nd, 2020 if he wants to. And it says only the Father knows when he's going to come back. And I think there are some things that we can learn from John the Baptist. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter number 3. The Bible says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John," amen for the same John, "had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out him to Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able for these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me," I'm thankful for him tonight, "is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him." Verse 15, he's explaining why he came to be baptized. "And Jesus," verse 16, "when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." I already told you the title. I want to preach on lessons learned from the Baptist preacher. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunity to be here, God. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the man of God that just preached before me. God, I pray, God, that I could just be a vessel, God, and to preach your word tonight. God, I pray, God, one, be listening by the way of internet. God, that you would do a work, God, like only you can in their hearts and their lives. God, I pray, God, if there's one listening, never been saved by the grace of God, God, I pray that tonight, God, will be the night that they get birthed into the family of God. Lord, I pray, God, this video tonight from both messages, God, will carry airways. God, and somebody will get some help from it, God. We pray, God, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I know you're sitting at the on the other side of the camera, and but it is kind of funny for us. I know we've had several conversations. I know this is a great way. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here via video, and but we all have our thoughts on Facebook. But I will say it is kind of funny if a preacher is to get up and say, "I know somebody in the building tonight is not saved." There's only five of us, so everybody's going to start questioning and trying to figure out who it is. And but let's just get into it tonight. Matthew chapter number 3. I just want to look at John the Baptist's life, and he can really teach us a lot of things and the lessons learned from the Baptist preacher. You don't have to be a Baptist preacher to learn from John the Baptist. And I already said he's a lighthouse for sure, and I want us to just be a lighthouse in today's time. And if I can make a reference really quickly, you don't have to turn there if you want to. Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter number 1, I just want to go there and read a verse or two, and I won't be very long. I just won't read as much as I usually would for sake of time. Luke chapter number 1, verse number 80, the Bible says this. The Bible says, Luke chapter 1, verse 80, it says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel." Now, in chapter number 2, verse number 40, the Bible says this. It says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Now we know in Luke chapter number 1, it's talking about John the Baptist. Luke chapter number 2, talking about Jesus Christ. And but I do want to say here, I want to look at number 1 tonight. I'm just going to get right into it. I want to look at John as the man that he was. And he was spirit-filled. John, the first thing we want to be, if we want to be a lighthouse in our day, if we want a purpose in our hearts that we want to serve God to our fullest extent, if we want to make up and put in our heart, "I'm just going to go with God regardless, however, it don't matter what may come my way, whatever it may be, I'm just going to purpose in my heart that I'm going to serve God." You've got to be filled with the Spirit. You turn over back to Acts chapter number 1, before they ever did anything else, he told them, "You got to be filled with the power of God. You got to be filled with the Spirit. You're not going to do anything effective in the ministry of life or ministering to people or anything if you're not filled with the Spirit of God. You can do all you want to in your own power. You can do all you want to by your own ability, but we are nothing we know without the Spirit of God. We cannot do anything." The Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, it says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." So we know by Luke chapter number 1, verse 80, that John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit. Now, if you've been around the Bible any time in your life, you know the story of John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb. He was actually filled before he was ever even birthed into this world. And so that we know, hey, it don't matter. And I'll just take a time out right there and I'll say this. It was not some fetus. It was not some just lump of cells. It was not something. It was a human being, and it was a baby. And he was filled with the Spirit of God. And I could turn back to Genesis chapter number 1, where it tells us that every child is made in the image of God. Amen. I don't care red, yellow, black, or white. We are all precious in his sight. And I don't care what they ever may tell you, whatever they may try to legalize or not legalize. I'll say this. If God made it, it's perfect, and it's perfect in his image. It's not perfect in man's image, but it's perfect in the image of God. But he's filled with the Spirit. I'll say this. If we want to do anything in our life, we've got to be filled with the Spirit. Number 2, it says that in Luke's account, verse number 80, it says that he was in the deserts. I just want to read that one more time so we get it. Luke chapter number 1, verse 8, it says, "And the child grew," John the Baptist here, "and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel." So, hey, we know John the Baptist had to live a separated life. So he was filled with the Spirit, but number 2, he was separated. He was obviously out there in Egypt. I thank God, hey, he was a lighthouse out there in Egypt. If you know your Bible, you know Egypt's a picture of the world. But he's separated. The Bible tells us, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Hey, you know what that purpose of that lighthouse is, Brother Mark? You know why it's black and white striped? It's so it can distinguish itself from its surroundings. We are not to just blend in with the crowd and just to fall right in with the crowd or do anything else. And I'm not saying we're supposed to make a name by ourselves for doing something bad or getting ourselves stuck. But I'll say this, if you're a born-again Christian tonight, regardless if you're in the building or if you're watching by the way of the camera tonight, or live stream, whatever it may be, YouTube, we are to be separated for the cause of Christ. We are to be able, somebody better be able to tell that person's a Christian by the way they separate themselves. Hey, you say, "Well, what about Jesus? He was with the sinners all the time." Yeah, he sat down with them, but he did not partake in sin. He was separated from them. John the Baptist, if you want to look at his character, he was filled with the Spirit, but he was separated. And I already read this in chapter number 3. Look at number 3. So he was in and out of the wilderness. He was the same. That's what it says in our Bible. And it says the same John. Amen. Verse number 4, and the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Hey, I'll say this. Hey, locust and wild honey, you got to be a special character to eat that now. And I'll say this. You know what he was? He was the same. I think about over in Acts chapter number 1 again, where they're talking about there, and they said, you men of Galilee, why? He said, why are you looking at? He said, the same Jesus. I like this. If Jesus is characterized and he's described as something, I want to be described as the same thing. In John, it says the same John. Just like it says in Acts chapter 1, the same Jesus. I want to be, hey, thank God. If you start describing Jesus, you start describing me, and we got some characteristics, praise God. I've been doing everything I possibly can. But it says he's the same. Hey, it doesn't matter. In the wilderness, out of the wilderness, coming out when he's making his first showing here in Israel, he is the same. If you want to be an effective Christian in our day in 2020, I don't care what it may be. If you want to be that lighthouse, you may say, man, I'm in the darkest time of my life. My job's going bad. I don't like this job. I had to get a new job because of the pandemic, or I've lost my job. I'll say this. God's planted you there for a reason. It's your job to sit there and just like that beacon, just keep on shining in a dark day. And just like John, he was consistent. He was the same. I wonder how many would be honest preachers. This is really for us too. I wonder how many people are the same right here as they are when they leave here and go home. You want to raise children, you look at a good parent. You ask somebody, you say, man, they got the best kids ever. What they'll tell you is consistency is the biggest thing that you can possibly do for your child. Now, I'll say this, preachers, you may be watching, whatever it may be, us in here tonight, we got to be the same right here as we are when we go home to our kids. Christians watching, you can't be somebody at church and be somebody at home. I hear way too many stories of people getting away from the faith and turning away from God because they say, well, mom and daddy wasn't the same at home as they was at church. I don't want that to be my testimony. My number one ministry in my life is my family, my wife, and my little girl there. And I want every time they step in a church somewhere and I'm preaching somewhere, they could say, hey, that's the same daddy whenever we left to come to church as it is right now. And he's the same. If you want to be effective, you got to be the same and consistent. Number 4, John, look at this. Hey, it already said he was eating locusts and wild honey now. Hey, all I'm saying, you got to eat locusts and wild honey, you got to be satisfied in something. Look at that right to verse 4. It says, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Now, say, you know, I don't know if he mixed it up for breakfast. He may have ate locust and wild honey. For lunch, he ate locust and wild honey. Supper time, he ate wild honey and locust. I don't know. But he's satisfied in what God has called him to do. You say, well, good, I ain't no preacher. He ain't preaching to me. I ain't got no calling in my life. If you're saved by the grace of God tonight and you've got breath in your lungs, you've got a purpose on this earth, don't let somebody tell you that. I could turn back over there. It tells us a lot of time in the Old Testament, hey, God has purposed us to be here. If he did not have a plan for you, he'd save you by the grace of God and immediately take you on to heaven. Don't let somebody sugarcoat it, talk you down. Well, you ain't got no purpose in your life. Hey, it's not your job to figure out what it is. It's your job to just figure out God and just get with him, whatever. Hey, I'll say this. You start hanging out with God, he'll start revealing some things to you. It don't take me very long to get around God. He'll tell me what I'm supposed to be doing or not doing it. It's not very, a lot of these people say, well, I just, you know, these people that say, well, I'm just praying for God's will, and they've been praying and praying and praying. I'm thinking, well, it's hard for me to believe somebody's really praying for God's will for just years and years and years and years and never gets no answer, direction of nothing. Right. Sometimes we got to recognize the answer no is an answer. I've learned, I'll say this, I'm not a very old Christian. I just turned 24 last week. But I'll say this, I've learned in my short years of being a Christian that the biggest thing in my prayer life is not getting an answer is my answer. And that's hard to learn. You want a definite yes or a no, but I'm saying when you pray and you pray and pray and nothing happens, I ain't got to sit there and labor very long till God says, I've told you, I'm not giving you an answer, because that's the answer. It's no. But he's satisfied in what he's doing. Psalm 22:26, and it says, and the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. Hey, I'll say this. Hey, he didn't have no fancy suit. He didn't have no fancy car to take him back and forth to his preaching engagements. His name wasn't on some flyer. He was wearing leathern girdle and camel's hair, and he was eating meat. He was eating locusts and wild honey. You know what that tells me? He said, I don't need all these fancy things because I've got God, and I'm just going to be satisfied with him. Too many times, Brother Mark, like he's preaching on, we get so wrapped up, we say, man, I just need something else, something else, something else. You know, everybody in our lives, we're all going to come to a breaking point sometime. So you're never going to live so high on a spiritual level all the time where you never come to a breaking point. But like we've referenced many times, Preacher Logan preaches that message, you fall the way you lean. When you're over here hanging out with God all the time, and it comes to that breaking point, you're not going to be hanging out with God all the time, living your life to the best, and come to a breaking point and go all the way away from Him. That just logically does not happen. Now, but my fear is too many times we're leaning over here, and we come to a breaking point expecting us to fall back that away. That's not how it works. See, He was satisfied in what He was doing. He didn't have all these things. I'll say this, I would say I want the purpose in my heart. I'd still preach if my name was never on a flyer. Amen. I'd still preach if I didn't have this suit to wear. Yes, I'd still preach if I had to walk to church. Amen. Hey, you don't see some big brigade for John the Baptist to get to his meetings. He walked where he went and rode a camel. You ever rode a camel? I never rode no camel, but I guarantee you it ain't as comfy as a car. But I'd say that I wish I'd purpose in my heart that, hey, I'd still go on for the glory of God. So you look at him as his character. But look, hey, in our day and time, especially as preachers, us born-again Christians, you know we have a job, and that job is to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. That's not talking about some pulpit somewhere. That's talking about born-again Christians fulfilling the great commission right before Jesus left here. He gave the great commission and said, you need to go out. You need to tell everybody that you can about me. Amen. That's why we call ourselves evangelical Christians, if you want to call it that, because we are to evangelize the lost. It's not God's will that any man perish, but God uses men and ladies to go and get some of them. Hey, it could be, you know, you realize, I this was several years ago, this man from over in Africa somewhere, he messaged me, he said something along the lines of, hey, you know, have a great day, whether, he said, just remember, he said, you could be the answer to somebody's prayer. God could just send you, God could just plant you somewhere as a lighthouse with your beacon waving just for somebody to come by their way. They're saying, man, I don't know, but I need some Jesus somewhere. They can look out in that dark time and say, man, this place is a wreck. So-and-so's cussing over here, so-and-so's cussing. Oh, no, but there's Brother Mark. He's standing there, and he's just at the state just being a beacon saying, hey, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Hey, that's our job. We have a great commission to fulfill. But in that great commission, there's got to be a message somewhere. You can't just say, hey, just come do what I'm going to do. No, it's a message now. Look in verse number 6. And we're baptized with him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, John's message was a message of repentance and salvation. Don't confuse this chapter here and say, well, he's just dunking everybody. No, we know that because it later says that they were confessing their sins. Right? We know that's what he says. How many of y'all know the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? Hey, number 2, we see him as a man, but we see his message. His message is a message of salvation. His message is a message of repentance. Too many times, these people going to these big churches and just getting dunked, going down a water slide or whatever. Hey, you can go down a dry center and come up a wet center, but you ain't been saved by the grace of God. We need to step up and to do and to preach the salvation. Hey, I think it was Brother Aaron said it. I don't know when he said it. Salvation is the simplest thing in our Bible. Yet it's the most overcomplicated thing that there is in our Bible. Because we can't understand the simplicity that Jesus came, died on that cross for our sins like he's preaching on, and did it just because he loved us so much. All it is a big love story. God loved his son so much, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then Jesus said, well, I just love Brother Mark, I just love Brother Aaron, I just love Brother Gavin so much, you know what? I'm just going to go and be the propitiation for their sins. I'm going to be their advocate. Every time they do wrong, here I am at the right hand of God going to be saying, Father, they're mine, put it on my account. It's all just a love story. Hey, why is it? What is so hard? What is so hard of the salvation message? What's the greatest thing you've ever gotten in your life? Salvation. Amen. Now we can say, well, listen, I love my family. But if I don't have salvation, I can't love my family. Right. You realize if I don't have salvation, I can't love my wife and my daughter like I ought to. Right. Because I can't understand God's love if I'm not saved by the grace of God. Hey, you're sitting there and you, hey, if you're having, you know, it really puzzles me, these people that say, you know, oh, well, I love this or love this, or these big people that really promote slogan love. I'm thinking, man, you don't love nobody. But, you know, for husbands, dads, I say this, I'll give you a challenge. You can't love your wife, you can't love your kids, you can't love nobody till you understand the love of God. Mamas, wives, you can't understand to love your husband. You can't submit yourself to him. You can't raise them babies until you figure out the love of God. Hey, there always feels like there's something. Hey, I'll say this. Everybody gives that thing. When your baby's born, it's going to be an instant love. Well, honestly, I'm going to be completely honest with you. When that little baby came out, it was just, y'all know the story. I don't have time to tell that. I'll be here all night. But I'll just say this. That little thing came out, and I was holding on. I was like, man, I don't know what. I literally said, man, I don't know whose baby this is. That doesn't look like nobody. This baby don't look like nobody. But I'll say, right then, it was because of God's love I could recognize. Not because of my own power. All I have is fleshly love. I might have brotherly love. I could try to do that to my best, but I don't have that agape that comes from God. So we have to preach that message of salvation. You recognize in John chapter number 3, we know the passage. It says, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, hey, listen, all you got to do is be saved. Listen, all we got to do is go at somebody with love and can tell them, hey, God loved me so much that he gave his only son for me. And then his son loved me so much that he gave his life for me. And not just me, but you too. That's what he was preaching, the message of salvation. Look at Matthew chapter number 14. Matthew chapter 14, if you're there, turn your Bibles. Matthew chapter number 14. So his message was a message of salvation. But number two, his message was a message of, he was preaching against sin. Matthew chapter number 14, I'm gonna read quickly. And at that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had not laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. And John said unto him, we're looking right here, it is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, give me her John Baptist head in a charger. And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat. He commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel. And she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. John the Baptist here, he's preaching against sin. What he's telling Herod, he tells Herod, he goes up to Herod. He says, Herod, you're shacking and it ain't right. Verse number 4, he says, for John said to him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. You know what John the Baptist was doing? He was preaching against sin. Hey, John preaching against sin cost him his head. Hey, I'll say this. Anytime you preach against sin, people are not going to be happy. But it's when you generalize it, when people are comfortable. But when you start drilling down like John did right there, and he said, hey, Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have her. He loses his head. We have got to stand against sin in our day. I'll say this. I don't care who gets in the White House. I don't care who the 45th for the 46th president is. If it was wrong back in the day, it's still wrong today. Right. I'll say this. I don't care who gets in and legalizes what. Abortion is still murder, regardless however you want to look at it. Drinking alcohol is still wrong. I don't care if you legalize drugs. They're still wrong. I'll say it don't matter in this day, whatever do. I'll say it don't matter if they legalize anything they want to. Pornography is still wrong. Right. The booze is still wrong. Going to the strip club is still wrong. I don't care. We've got to take a stand in our day against sin. John the Baptist said, hey, I'm preaching salvation, but I'm preaching against that sin that you've got in your life. Amen. Hey, the preacher's job is not to just exhort everybody and say, well, hey, you just come on to church here and everything will be fine. You just show up on Sunday morning and everything will be fine. That's not our job. That's not your job as a born-again Christian. As a born-again Christian, you are to stand against sin. Right. Now, I'm not saying you don't go into the bars now and try to tell people about their sin. But I mean, preach outside the bar if you want to, but you don't associate yourself with the sin trying to stand against it. Amen. But you preach against that stuff. Too many preachers nowadays ain't preaching on nothing. Afraid that they might not get a crowd. I'd rather preach to five in a camera preaching against sin than I would preach a prosperity thing where you can be whatever you want to and go to heaven. That's not the way. My Bible tells me you got to repent of your sins. You must be born again. Turn from your wicked ways, amen. So he's preaching salvation, he's preaching the soon coming Savior. I mean, salvation is sin, but he's preaching the soon coming Savior. Look at verse number 3 of our text. Chapter 3, verse 3.
For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. He's saying, hey, Jesus is coming. We know it, the verse from John chapter number 1, verse number 29. He says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He's sitting there saying, hey, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming right now. You know what our job is today in 2020? I know we only got a couple months left, but I'm going to do my best to preach it till he comes. Jesus Christ is coming.
Right.
Hey, I know he was physically coming in, but he's physically coming back right now too. Right. Our Bible tells us 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Thank God. We can preach that Jesus is coming. I'm thankful. Hey, listen, if 2020's taught me anything, I want to say this publicly. I'm glad this world is not my home.
That's right.
I'm just a passing through. Listen, if all you're hoping for, if you're not saved by the grace of God, this is the best it's going to get for you.
That's right.
But us that are saved, been sealed, delivered. Hey, we ain't have to worry about going to the devil's hell anymore. Hey, I'm thankful I'm not going to, I'm thankful I get to go to heaven, but I'm really thankful I'm not going to hell one of these days. But, you know, 2020's really taught me, I'm glad this world's not my home. I'm just passing through. I'm thankful there's somewhere laid up better for me. He's got a mansion waiting for me, and I'm going to walk the streets of gold one of these days, and I thank God for that. And then, so we see him as a man, we see his message. But number three, let's look at his ministry. We all have ministries. John chapter number 1, here's what the Bible says. I think this is very important, and it goes along with what we said earlier. John chapter number 1, verse number 6, the Bible says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. You know, in our any ministries that we have, I know some of us are preachers in here. I know some of us lead our own Bible studies. I know some of us just work at jobs, go to different places. I know my dear brother over here told me, he asked me about a particular person. He said, are they saved? And I said, I'm not really sure if they are or not. I don't think they are. He said, well, I'll go ask them. I said, well, praise God. You know who I'm talking about. He said, I'll go ask them. I said, praise God, go do it. In any ministry we have, this is not just for preachers, pastors, and churches, whatever it may be. Number one, to have any effect, we want to be a lighthouse. We want to be where our lighthouse is at. To be a lighthouse in our day, we've got to be sent. We've got enough mama called, daddy sent preachers out there, people saying, well, they're saved from professions of vacation Bible schools when they was 3 years old, to I'm done with them. We need some people that are really sent from God. A lighthouse is only effective if it's in the right spot.
Right.
I say this, it does scare me, people that go all through life and never have a single convert from their own ministry.
Mm-hmm.
If there's no fruit, it scares me that there is no life in that tree. And that life in that tree is Jesus Christ. And we know in our text, the Bible says, therefore every tree that which bring forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. That means, hey, it's going to be burned up one of these days because it ain't got fruit on it. I don't want to go to the end of my life and there be no fruit for my labor. I really do want that. I really do want people to be saved by the grace of God, not because I can put some tally mark on my belt and say, oh, look how many people I've led to Christ, but the fact that I can get up to heaven one of these days and say, hey, thank God you made it in by the grace of God. Hey, it could be your family. It could be my family that needs to be saved. And hey, we need to be a lighthouse. We need to be sent where God has told us to go. Hey, it may not be. You know, it's funny when I first surrendered to preach, and you hear people, well, surrender your life. And you know, you can halfway surrender to something. You can like do it to like the extent that you want to do it, but you don't have to go all the way in. And I mean, I found myself praying. I'm like, Lord, like you get these preachers coming here and just preach. You need to surrender your life. And I'm thinking, Lord, I get down the altar, and I'm like, Lord, Lord, if you want me to be a pastor, you know, I'm in. I'll do it. You know, Lord, if you want me to be an evangelist, full-time evangelist, I'll do it. And I'm over here getting to that mission work, and I'm thinking, Lord, I really don't want you to send me to Iraq. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You ever hear halfway surrender, and you're like, Lord? You're like, I don't know about that. It was like a fear that, like, you surrender your life to God, he instantly sends you to a foreign field somewhere. Like, the minute you surrender your life, boom, the next day you're going to get a call, you're overseas somewhere. That's not how it works. Now, if God calls you, you better go. But we need some people who are actually sent by God.
Yeah,
I'm tired of these people saying, well, hey, I know somebody, I really do know somebody that what calls himself a preacher. I wouldn't let him lead a silent prayer, honestly, but that, you know, say, well, I really want to pastor a church. Got on some website somewhere, clicked the resume, and just sent it to any church that was looking for a pastor in the country. It's one of them bid it, and they left and went to it. I thought, I don't know. I mean, maybe that's of God, but I don't look like no sending to me nowhere. That looks like sending yourself. It's not our job to push our way into spots so that God can use us, but we would just go where God has led us. Amen. We've all got a mission field. You say, no, I don't. Hey, how many of y'all ever been to a drive-thru restaurant? Amen. Praise God, that's a mission field. You say, no, it ain't. Yeah, it is. Take your food, hand them a gospel tract. Say, Jesus loves you, amen. We go to church right down the road. Every time I invite somebody to church, they say, you know what? You're talking about the church with the big flashy sign? Makes me think of cops behind me every time. I say, hey, that's us, praise God. That's just Jesus convicting. Ain't a cop, amen. But we've got to be sent. Romans chapter number 10, we know this as a salvation, Romans road, if you want to call it that. But there is two verses I would like to read there because it's very, very important for my to make tie together. So we know Romans chapter number 10, 9 through 13, we know all that right there. But look in verse number 14 and 15 and 16. It says, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be what? Sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. What he's saying there, he said, how are they going to believe? He said, how are they going to call them if they never believe? How are they going to believe if they never heard? How are they going to hear without a preacher? And how are they going to preach except they be sent? Listen, we need to make sure that whatever we're doing, that God's really put us there. Too many times I think people are sitting there saying, well, I'm trying to figure out the will of God, when really you're thinking God's told you to do something, he's never done it. We just need to be sent. Number two, look at verse number 3 of our text, Matthew chapter 3. I'm finishing up. Matthew chapter 3, verse number 3. It says, for this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So in our ministry, if we want to be effective, we got to be sent. But number two, we got to have the scripture. Right there, he's quoting Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 3. He's using the scripture when he's preaching there. And our Bible tells us, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He said, then again, I'm not a preacher. Hey, you can take your Bible and you can tell somebody John 3:16, amen. You'll never go wrong giving somebody the Word of God. Because you want to know why? Because the Word of God's so much bigger than you. That's literally Jesus right there in front of them. You can just give them Jesus by reading the Bible. Anytime I've been in the altar trying to lead somebody to the Lord, I just take the Bible, open it up and say, you see what that says right there? They say, yeah. I say, what do you think that means? I say, well, that means if Jesus said he'll save me, he'll save me. I say, well, praise God. And there they go. They'll start asking God to save them. Hey, anytime you want to be effective, just use the Scripture. Take your Bible. You got the Word of God. This is sharper than any two-edged sword. There is nothing more powerful than the Word of God that we carry every single day. You can take your phone and say, look, let me show you. No, take your Bible, take our King James Bible and show them the Scripture. Hey, you'll be a lighthouse. You just use the Word of God.
That's right.
Hey, what is this? This is a what? A lamp unto our feet and a what? A light unto our path. What do we want to be? We want to be a lighthouse. Give them the Word of God. Use the Scripture. Amen. Verse number 3, so we see he's sent, we see he's got the Scripture. Number 3, he's got a shout. Right there he says, for this is he that was spoken of the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. He's crying in the wilderness. You know what that tells me? He's got a shout. He's got an urgency. Isaiah chapter number 58 says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Hey, we need to tell people with an urgency, hey, like that lighthouse said, we're to guide people, but we are to tell them, hey, there's danger coming. We need to tell, hey, I listen, y'all know me, y'all been listening to me for however many minutes now, you know, hey, I get fired up about it. It really scares me, those preachers that just, they never have no excitement about them. Now, I mean, I'm not saying anybody got to get up here and hoop and holler and everything else or lose their breath or whatever. But it really does scare me when somebody just gets up there dead in the doorknob knowing Jesus Christ is living on the inside of them. You're preaching a book that can change somebody's life. You're preaching about a God that can change somebody's life. And they never do anything. They just say, well, you know what the Bible says. No, that just tears me up. Get after it.
That's
I mean, it says cry aloud, spare not. I don't say whisper aloud, monotonely read aloud. No, it says cry aloud. Hey, we need to have a shout. Tell people, like Peter. I know Pastor been preaching on Peter a little bit there. Man, Peter bold. Everybody look at Peter like, man, look what Peter did again. I'm a lot like Peter. Man, he got to the top of Mount Transfiguration. He said, man, this is awesome. We're up here. He wasn't even spoken to. He just opened his mouth. He's excited. You say, well, oh, look at Peter. Peter, he spoke when he wasn't spoken to. Well, praise God, you get up there. God showed you something awesome. You know, I'm going to say, this is awesome. Now, we know he shouldn't be able to try to build a tabernacle for everybody. But he got there and said, man, this is awesome. He said, this is good that we're up here. And everybody's like, man, everybody looks at Peter. I think I come from the bloodline of Peter. Peter, my ancestor, somewhere down the line. If you'd be honest with yourself, he probably is yours too. Hey, cut that guy's ear off. Yeah, hey, don't mess with my God. Cut it off. He's bald. It got him in trouble a little bit. You know what he was, though? Hey, he's crying aloud. Hey, he's excited about what he's doing. Don't look at Peter like he's some sort of a criminal for what he's... We know he denied everything else. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying he just had a boldness about him. So he had a shout there. We got to go with urgency. But lastly, verse number 13. The Lord's baptism here. Verse number 13 says, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. In this context here, and I know the pastor agreed, we've talked about this, Jesus Christ has walked somewhere from Galilee to Jordan upwards of 60 or 70 miles to get to where John's at. He did not just walk all that way to just be baptized, but he also came to hear John preach. You know, I can't remember which chapter it's in. I want to say it's like Matthew. It's one of the first teen chapters, I believe, somewhere. Maybe chapter 12, chapter 11. I can't remember. He's talking to disciples. You know what Jesus tells John? What tells them to preach? He tells them to preach John's message. He said, preach, repent, ye, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Mm-hmm. Too many times they ask when Jesus was asking the disciples, he said, who do men say their name? John the Baptist. Praise God. I mean, John the Baptist lived such a godly life that they were confusing the Lord with him. Amen. But he walked somewhere upwards of 60 or 70 miles. Could have took somewhere up to a full day, 24-hour period to walk to where John was. So by what he was coming to get baptized. He explains it in verse 15 why he was doing that. But it's also, he's coming to hear him preach, but he's coming to be baptized. You know what, lastly, number four on the ministry is? You know what he's got there? He's got a stamp of approval from Jesus Christ. He's got a stamp on his ministry for what he's doing. Hey, listen, your lighthouse ain't no good if the light ain't shining on top. But you can't put the light on your own lighthouse. Jesus Christ's got to do that. He is the one in John chapter number 8, verse number 12, said, I am the what? The light of the world. There is no darkness in him now. Your lighthouse ain't going to be your own light. It ain't going to be some light bulb from some big bad thought that you've got. It's going to be that Jesus Christ is living on the inside. He's come on out, and you're letting him use you, just like the scripture tells us. Hey, we're not supposed to use him as a cover him up as like the little kid saying, hide him under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. John's ministry had a stamp of approval from Jesus Christ. And if we want to be anything in our day, if we want to have any sort of effect on anybody, we got to make sure that we've got that stamp of approval. I don't want man's stamp if it ain't got Jesus' stamp on it. And honestly, I don't really care for man's stamp. Because if it's got Jesus' stamp on it, that's all I need. Because I think when your ministry's got Jesus' stamp on it, it's kind of like an envelope. You know when they put them little wax seals on it at the very tip of it right there? That means, hey, it's there to not be open. I don't care. It ain't like Jesus just puts it somewhere. No, he puts that thing on. It don't matter what man thinks of me. Yeah, I don't care. Listen, I may never get to preach in another church in my life. And this may be the last time I ever get to preach in this church. But I'll say this, if Jesus Christ has got a stamp of approval on my ministry, that's better to me than any man or a thousand men. I'd rather preach to a five and a camera with God saying, yes, I approve that, than I would preach to 5,000 just by man's glory for man's approval. Amen. I don't care about man's approval. Man's approval don't get me nowhere except for sending people to a devil's hell. It's Jesus Christ that saves lives. It's Jesus that changes lives forever. That's what I want. Hey, we can learn a lot from the Baptist preacher. And I'll say this. I want Fellowship Baptist Church to be a lighthouse on the side of the road. Man, I want this place. Man, I want this place. I know we're shut down today. We had people come this morning. You shut down? Yeah, you, praise God, you can stay if you want to. We know we're shutting down. We're just trying to be cautious as we can. I want this place to be a lighthouse. Man, I like when people come up to me and say, man, I see you got your steeple painted. Man, that looks good. I'm talking about people who don't even go here. I'm like, yeah, we did. You like that? Looks good, don't it? Y'all come see the inside. Hey, praise God. Look over the ugly carpet. Praise God. The inside's better. I used to carry that American flag Bible around all the time. People say, man, I love your Bible. I say, I like what's on the inside a lot better. Man, I want this church right here to be a soul-saving station. People come here and lives be changed, renewed by the power of God. I want that for us. I don't want this place's light to go out. But I'm afraid there's a lot of times when we nearly cut the switch off and it's about to go down. But man, I want this place right there to just, you look out, here we are. I want our light to be so big you could see it from solar. Praise God, I do. You say, that ain't possible. Yeah, it is. Anything's possible with God. We ought not belittle him. I want to be a personal lighthouse, but man, our church, I want this thing to grow. If you're watching, you've never attended with us, I pray that you, hey, listen, listen to the first preacher, don't listen to the second guy, what it's usually like around here. But I say this, we invite you to come anytime you want to. We want this place, we want to make a promise that when you come here, you're going to meet God in this building. We want to be a lighthouse here. Amen. And I want to be a lighthouse in today's time. I really do. Hey, I'll say this, and I'm saying this, and we'll wrap it up. 2020 has been a crazy year. I mean, it really has. But I will say this with confidence. I think we live in the greatest day to be a Christian as ever. Ever. Everybody's looking for hope. Everybody's still not sure, Brother Mark said, about the election. Everybody don't know. Everybody went cast their vote with some hope in it. The hope's not in a donkey. It's not in an elephant. It's the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Amen. And he is our light. And I'm thankful that wherever I'm following him, there is no darkness in it, because there is no darkness in Jesus. Amen. And he's the light of the world. I'm thankful for it. And so you just keep pressing on. You be a light in these dark days. There's no telling. If you would just let your light so shine before men, there's no telling whose lives might be changed. People get to come to know Jesus Christ, and you could have fruits from just being a Christian, and it would be the greatest thing ever. And I really like to look at John. I think he was a great example for us. And you just want us to close.